Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to American Matters Radio. I'm your host, Brian Hirsch, and with me tonight is my partner and confidant, the fixer, Mr. Bill Elmore. Good evening, Bill.
Good evening, Brian. How's your day going?
We have had a week, haven't we?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. What a week.
I'll tell you what, I've never seen somebody come back off of two broken ribs so quick. Well, Superman here, the fixer.
Can't keep a good man down.
That's right. You've been getting into a lot of spaces lately, I see.
I decided I was going to dip my toe in, and then I got pulled underneath the water.
Well, you went in head first.
So I've been in spaces every single night.
You have a big voice. People want to hear what you have to say.
Well, and I like giving other people voices and listening, and then obviously I'm going to share my opinion. But
most definitely.
Yeah.
Speaking of giving other people's voices, tonight is open mic night. If you would like to call in, you can call at 319-527-6092. And if you would like to chat with us, just press 1. Now back to our regular schedule program.
Mm-hmm. But like this morning, you know, I just, somebody DM'd me and said, hey, can we chat real quick? And I said, well, we can do it right here. And he goes, well, I'd like to, you know, maybe if we can jump on a space, can't you make those private? And I'm like, oh, we never tried, but sure can try. And the answer is no, you can't. So I just did I just opened a space, you know, didn't advertise, didn't do anything. Opened a space, said quick chat with Bill, and I sent it to him. And he's like, oh, I'm not ready right now. I'm like, well, okay, I'm sitting here. He says, I'll be there in like 15 minutes. I'm like, okay. And then people just started joining, and you know, all of a sudden the border came up. I had an actual reporter that was on the border who had heard me talk on a business space and wanted to talk to me about crowdfunding and advertising. So we chatted about that, and I'm like, well, you're a reporter? You're a reporter on the border? He's like, yeah. And then a couple other people joined in, so we started talking about border issues, talked about January 6th, and before I know it, like 50 people are on the thing.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
The improvs are amazing. Because people have a tendency to be really, you don't have time to prepare, you know, what like you would an interview. You don't have time to prepare all your facts. You don't have time to put out a sheet or anything like that. You just got to put out what's in your head, what you know.
Oh, yeah. And I find, like I said before, I find a lot of people have a lot of knowledge and a lot to share, and you just got to give them that opportunity and avenue. And then great discussion. It's like striking up a conversation at the bar. You know, people don't do this anymore, especially talking about these type of topics. You know, so.
Oh, I love it! I love it.
It was
There's
fun.
And you had some pretty good names on there too.
Yeah, they just showed up.
Well, they see your name and they're going to say, "What's Mr. Bill the Fixer have to say?"
I'm a nobody, but I like to talk. That's for
no,
sure.
No, you're not. Mr. Humble, maybe, but not a nobody, that's for sure. You're a hell of a patriot, I'll give you that.
Well, thank you. So are you.
We had a fantastic time at the Trump rally in Sioux Center, Iowa. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
I think they turned away close to 300 people.
Hmm. Wow.
And that, believe me, brother, I was standing out there signing people up for the Pledge to Caucus, and it was cold, and these people were dedicated.
Hmm.
I mean, you could see the disappointment on their face when they were told the place was full to capacity.
Hmm.
and I loved it. I got to speak to three generations of women from the same family, which was just, it was beyond words. And they beamed. They were happy to be there. I mean, this man doesn't command respect. It's already there.
Right.
Because of what he's already done for our country.
Absolutely.
And we need to get him back in there in November so we can do it again.
Oh, and we are going to.
But, see, I think the key, he's only got four more years. The key to keeping what he puts in the next 4 years is to get people in there, like from the grassroots campaigns, that will support his ideas, will support his policies.
Right.
Because we got there now is these Soros-backed DAs. All they're doing is keeping him off the campaign trail and draining his campaign funds or his money.
Right.
And that's pretty much the goal, because now from what I see, it's going to the Supreme Court for Colorado. And pending the outcome of that decision, that's the future. If the Supreme Court rules in favor of Colorado, every state that can will take him off the ballot.
Yeah, but I don't even think that'll, you know, Lincoln was taken off 39 states because he was against slavery, and he still won.
Yeah. But this isn't 1862 either. I mean, it's a long way from then. And they've changed so many laws on us behind our backs. That a lot of those older laws should no longer apply. And there should be specifics on laws like the Insurrection Act, so they can't twist it to benefit them. Because that's what they do. That's what they're good at. They're good at stretching the law.
Right.
Really good at breaking it. But they're really good at stretching it. Well, this is going to be an interesting night. I have a little bit of a pet peeve.
Oh, yeah?
I was proud because my daughter went to the Trump rally with me, and I posted it. And I posted pictures of her. Now, I don't care if you attack me. I don't care if you attack my faith. I don't care if you attack my beliefs. I don't care if you attack my political beliefs. But if you go after my daughter, I'll be damned. And that's all I'm going to say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's never a good move. So did somebody try that?
There's quite a few on the post that I put. And I have refrained, I would say, pretty well, considering some of the comments. But I'm going to be bigger than that, because I know my daughter can handle herself. And I know she has patriots out there that back her up. And I thank every one of them that did. And they did. 100%. But see, it's to the point that we can change the subject, because my hands are starting to shake, and I don't want to take this to a bad place.
Yeah.
But
well, God is in control. And
that's why my hands are behind my head.
You got it.
I let him take the wheel, brother.
Yeah.
You said that. It actually made me feel better.
There you go. So what do you think about all the January 6th coverage yesterday? Do you see anything particularly that piqued your interest?
To be honest, I was just, you know who David Harris Jr. is, right?
Yes.
I was just looking at his Instagram page. And the one video that I have been posting for the last 3 years, he just now popped up on his Instagram page.
Hmm.
The one where they were telling you the one guy, I believe you've probably seen it, Bill. The one with the guy in all the Trump gear and the red, white, and blue telling you have to have a visual or they won't believe you.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
David Harris just put that video up on his Instagram page.
Hmm.
Yeah, aggravated I am right now. I've been posting that damn video for 3 years. Along with two others. One of the gentlemen inside, it looked like a police station in the background, confessing that the January 6th insurrection was a setup by higher-ups, and he was paid.
Hmm.
And I'm sorry, but there's no way you can get in that building without being let in.
Right.
I watch videos, the video you sent me, of the officer shooting behind the people to draw and push them forward. Now, this is, there's... It was a setup, plain and simple. Why would the January 6th committee delete a terabyte of evidence?
You're right.
There's
covering
too many
up the crime.
There's too many ifs and there's too many whys that are still unanswered. These people need to be released, and they need to be released post-haste. They are being held as political prisoners, nothing more.
All right. The key thing that stood out to me is when we had Jake Chansley on, and he talked about the timeline, right? That as they're, you know, as he was being kind of toured through the building with a police escort, right, peacefully brought into the chambers, he was able to pray for them, pray for Congress, and then they were peacefully kind of walked back out. But at the same time, you know, people were gathering outside, and that's when the Capitol Police shot down, you know, towards the back of the crowd, which then caused them to kind of surge forward to avoid the shock bombs and smoke and everything. And, you know, that just set up a perfect picture of, you know, these radical extremists storming the Capitol, you know,
Everything created the perfect storm.
It created the perfect made for TV setup.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So it's, you know, if you have a half a brain and some logical thinking, and you look at all the truth, not what the January 6th committee said, not what the Mockingbird media, you know, parroted. You know, you look at all the videos, you look at the timing, you listen to the people. We had Tariq Johnson on a space the other night, and he's the lieutenant that was in charge of operations at the Capitol, and he was saying how, you know, his higher command just abandoned them. Mm-hmm. He just went radio silent, right? And that it's, you put it all together, and it just stinks.
We know Trump didn't incite anything because, for one, he asked Nancy Pelosi for National Guard troops, and she said no.
Right.
Number two, he went on social media and told everybody to be peaceful and go home.
Right.
I don't see how they can prove.
Yeah.
I don't
people
see how they can prove he tried to incite an insurrection.
Yeah, no, there's nothing he said that in fact, he said the opposite. Some people bark about the fact that he, you know, it took him 3 hours, you know, that even Bush got on TV and said, called for peace, and it took Trump 3 hours. Well, people forget that there was actually an assassination attempt on him that day.
So yeah.
He shut down early, wheeled him off, locked him down like they do during it. You know, he was still president, you know, locked him down like they do. And so he couldn't resurface until then. But he had already said, go march peacefully, right? And, you know, but those tweets at the time got suppressed and taken down. So it was a very well coordinated setup, in my opinion, from everything I've heard and digested.
So, just like reality TV?
Yep.
Programming.
Yep.
Perfectly done. Well, not perfectly, because they got caught.
Yeah, yeah.
They didn't think they were going to get caught. But then again, that's a Democrat. They're arrogant as hell and they're narcissistic, so.
Yeah.
That's their trait.
Absolutely.
That's also their downfall.
So I jumped on a space with that Jake Chansley was on, and it was kind of an open debate of whether it was an insurrection or not an insurrection. And Jake did a great job, I thought, of dispelling the hoax. He had some, you know, formidable opponents, but Tariq joined, and then we had the Zero Hedge debate with Alex Jones was on in the evening, and that was interesting to watch. Had the Crescentine twins on with him.
I hate to interrupt, but before I forget about it again, I forgot to mention the other night when I was at the Trump rally. First time I ever heard him do it and see him do it. He straight out called Joe Biden the son of a bitch.
Yeah, yeah.
I almost fell out of my chair.
I love when he comes out and does that. You know, it doesn't.
Yeah,
do
that
it
was
often.
Definitely off script. If you would have seen some of the looks of the people around him, they were like, "Oh, wow."
Yeah, he has done it.
I've missed mean tweets and $2 gas.
Yeah.
But I also miss a closed border. What do you think about that? What do you think about Mr. Speaker going down for the photo op?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good – we had a conversation about that. People had thoughts on how to close the border, how to address that issue or whatnot. But we're not going to get it done by photo ops.
No.
You know,
no.
People just saying what they want people to hear, blah, blah, blah.
We're going to get it done by actually hiring more border agents and allowing them to do their damn job.
Right, right.
They need to reinstate Title 42.
And make Mexico do their part again. everything Trump did, it was working.
It was. But, see, now the cartels have actual operational control of the southern border. They're patrolling it with their own drones.
Mm-hmm.
They have their own security forces patrolling that border for safe cargo for the coyotes to take the human traffickers back and forth and the drugs, the fentanyl.
Yep.
And you know China's got a hand in that part. You know they got to be financing some of the cartel to bring the fentanyl in.
Hmm.
That's a giant. That's a bad network there, and their fingers are in everything, and I mean everything.
Yeah,
because what those cartels will do is they'll take that drug money and they'll put it into legitimate businesses here in the United States and all around the world. Build those businesses up. You would think it would allow them to get out of the drug trade, but they make more money in the drug trade than they do in those businesses altogether. They're just fronts.
Yeah.
Shell companies just like Biden. But they use those companies to funnel the money so they can finance different things. I've spoken to a lot of those folks. When I was growing up in South Florida, I used to frequent down in Miami quite a bit because I worked down there for a bookstore. And you get to know a few people over 33 years. And that's how they used to run it. They would run it. They would even run it across from Mexico, across the Gulf of Mexico, right into Florida. Oh yeah, there's a lot of avenues.
Yeah.
You look right there on it's on the East Coast, on the Treasure Coast of Florida. There are so many waterways in Florida and back canals and that. You just cannot patrol them all. So these smugglers, they come in with their little skiffs and just ride up the little canals. You never know they're there and they're gone.
Yeah.
They do the same with people. But now they're getting into the big deal just for those. Well, we seen not too long ago how many people were found dead in that cargo box.
Yeah.
But now they just... Now they just let them walk right across the border, so they don't need boxes anymore. And I'm sorry, but I do believe that these Republican governors shipping them all over the country is wrong, because they've caught 173 on terror watch list so far. How many have gotten in that we don't know about and were shipped all across the country already? Hell no. Now they're just sleeper cells waiting. And now we got to wait. But we got to do things the proper way. We got to get our elected officials in there so they can close that southern border and start finding these people and sending them back where they came from.
It's going to be the largest deportation effort ever, you know, and it's a shame because, you know, it's not a shame to get, you know, all the bad actors. Right. And, but you know, they're not innocent. They broke the law on coming over illegally. Right. But there are some family, children that are going to, you know, it's just like with the DACA kids, right? They get here, they get established, they get, and then, sorry, go home.
Yeah.
You came here illegally. You
they
gotta
get
go.
Used.
You know, and they definitely got used, you know, the ones that survived. You know, it's just, it's a tragic story, but illegal is illegal, you know.
Exactly.
Find the right way.
Follow the law.
You know? Follow the law.
Mexico would expect us to obey their sovereign borders. Why are they not obeying ours?
Right. Yeah. But it is a human tragedy what they're doing.
The trouble is, it's all over. It's not just here anymore.
No, it's every country, every Western country. And so what that shows you is that it's a larger plan, you know?
Exactly.
More diabolical plan.
This is on a global scale. It's not just here. But the thing is, it has been for a while.
Yeah.
They were doing it right under our noses. And nobody said a word.
Just with Biden, it's so blatant, so obvious, so diabolical.
Oh,
it's crazy.
Yeah. And he still has supporters. I don't get it.
They are, well, okay, so I put them in two buckets. the brainwashed by the, you know, Mockingbird media, right? These are the innocent ones. They're just completely brainwashed by legacy media. And all the lies, right? Biden's lied his entire career, right? So he has no problem with doing it. And, it's a political tactic to just say something enough times that people actually believe you, you know, damn the facts, right? But he's done it his entire lifetime where I don't, you know, he doesn't care what comes out of his mouth. He's just going to say, he's going to blame Trump for everything. He's going to spread the lies. And then you got, you know, the clown, you know, press secretary who is worse than Bad Dad Bob, like worse. I troll these people.
You know the only reason she got that job, right?
Tell me. Well, because she hit all the check marks, right? She's a female, lesbian, you know, black. You know, she hit all of Biden's check marks.
Yeah,
right?
She's also a lover of a higher up at CNN.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So she'll go back there afterwards. So.
Well, pretty much she definitely got job security.
Right.
Just like every Democrat or somebody that comes off the day, Hill has job security at CNN.
Absolutely, you know. Pataki.
It's not like they got to worry about a future.
Yeah, did you hear her slip, Jen Pataki slip? Actually, I saw a video, and it was a compilation of a lot of them, right, where they were saying, you know, I was really happy to work under Obama. I mean Biden.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there
There's
was
quite
multiple.
A few of them I've seen made that slip up.
Yeah, they all say it, right? They
well,
knew
I mean,
they were
come
right.
on. Obama what? Even did an interview coming out saying what he would do if he could do a third presidency, how he would do it.
Yeah. Yeah, he forecasted that. But,
he explained what he's doing.
Yeah. And, yeah.
Now, see, that's the thing. That's the thing. If you're going to be a criminal, the smartest place to hide is in plain sight.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a reason he never moved out of Washington.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Never planned to stop working. He just...
If I'm not mistaken, him and Michelle or Michael. Mikhail.
Yeah.
Big Mike. They own part stock in Netflix, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, yeah, they have, I thought I saw something about family connections there, too, but did you see the movie that they just put out? Talk about putting it out there in plain sight.
I think I've seen it in passing on a commercial, but yeah, I really don't follow them.
No, but it's basically projecting their plan, right? So there's a lot of speculation out there that we're going to have this big cyber attack, you know, this year. It might be the next, you know, they don't have COVID. If they can't get us to start a civil war for them, right, which they're trying.
Well, I have been seeing a lot of places talking about being hit by attacks lately, and that sounds to me like they're just looking for a weak spot.
Well, if they can shut down all communication and, you know, but the movie goes right through the whole thing of how, and the Obamas put that out. You know, why, you got to ask yourself why a former president would put a movie like that out. and so I saw, I'll have to find the video, I'll send it to you on X. But it was actually narrated, you know, by somebody who was basically saying, this is what they're doing. This is what they're planning, right? So they'd show a clip of the movie and then talk about it, show a clip of the movie and talk about it. And they highly recommend you actually watch the movie because you can see their game plan. They're just putting it out there. Yeah. So you can, but it's,
I'm
it's
a firm
insane.
Believer. There is a very, very good reason that when Obama was president, he had the military engaged in an exercise called Operation Jade Helm. That is what would happen if our military and our government had to declare martial law. And they did the exercise, and I believe it was New Mexico, Arizona, and Texas, and maybe one other southern state. I'm not sure. But that's exactly what it was. It was an exercise in martial law.
Yeah, like I said, if they can get, and I think there's a big effort to, yeah, there's, all the psyops to try to get a civil war. Somebody on my space this morning said, you know, just said something about, we're going to have to do civil war. And I'm like, stop. Right there. Right. No, that's exactly what they want. Right. So they can say you're these extremists. It's exactly what we've been saying about you. And then they can do martial law. And then they can do insurrection. And they can do, you're going to fall right into their trap. You know, we're not doing that. You know, you're not going to say that on my space.
No, but we're not going to lay down and let them cheat either.
Well, no, but there's a difference between defending yourself, you know,
and going looking for trouble.
Then initiating it and giving them the excuse, right? But if they, you know, if this whole, you know, if they just take
my dad used to tell me, don't never throw the first punch, but make sure you throw the last one.
Absolutely, yeah. So, but it's different. So if they take the psyop, you know, if they take the cyber attack route or aliens or whatever they want to do to say, oh, we need martial law, then we may have to defend ourselves, you know, but we're not going to initiate it because that's exactly what they want.
Let them make the first move. Good chess.
Yeah.
That's a good chess move. Let them make the first move.
Totally true. Yeah. True in negotiations, you know, I never start negotiations saying what I want first. You know,
no.
The art of negotiating is, you know, you have to have the pregnant pause. You make it uncomfortable. Just be quiet. Let them say the first thing they want, and then you start from there. You know, same thing.
That's what gives you negotiating leverage.
Yeah, you're buying a car no matter what you're doing. You know, you're selling a car. Doesn't matter.
The art of the deal.
The first offer. Because then you know what their mindset is, right? They may put an offer down there that's higher than what you wanted. You know?
Exactly.
And then you raise it.
My papi used to tell me, never offer up any information.
Ever.
If they don't ask you for it, don't tell them.
No. So you make, let them make the first move.
Always,
but
always.
Yeah, we can't fall into their hands. I mean, so there's a lot of fake accounts out there that, you know, get on my posts and they'll say stuff like that. And at a minimum, I ignore them. I won't, you know, I don't care what account they are. I ignore it. Sometimes I'll just say, stop, you know.
Yeah.
That's not what we're saying. You know? Because then I
put a post up earlier today, I think it was, that I've noticed a lot of the left's new, there's been a lot of new profiles that are left and people that call themselves patriots, but I think they're bought and paid for accounts. They only have a few hundred followers, and most times those followers are each other. Very little posts and very little engagement as far as personal replies or posts. It's really weird. And there's just been a lot of them. Like somebody just threw out a little bit of money and said, you people create these, link them up, and harass some people, piss them off to the point where they get stupid and get kicked off of Twitter.
Yeah. There's that, and there's even more diabolical ones where I've had people follow me for a long time. They've got a very big, you know, or, you know, their posts and their likes and everything indicates that, yep, they're conservative, they're pro-Trump, they're pro-whatever, right? And I think they're just alt accounts, right? And then they get caught up, you know, they get stupid, and they see a post of mine, and they don't remember they're on their alt account. And they make a comment that is just so obvious, right? And AOC did that, right? Remember she had her alt account? Right? And she got caught on that? I've caught a couple people today do that. And I'm like, oh, yeah? You know, explain yourself. Right? And they don't realize it right away. and they keep going, and then all of a sudden they go silent. Like, oh, shit. I'm not on the right account.
You know when they go silent, you got them.
Right.
I love it.
And,
silence, I think, you know, to be honest, I think that's where the saying silence is golden actually came from.
Right.
When you catch somebody in a lie or something like that and they go silent, yep. Silence is golden.
I forget, what was the one today? It was, so Laura Loomer, this is funny. So DeSantis called the police on Laura Loomer at the Iowa event, right? And she's just going in as a reporter. It was open to the public, and all of a sudden the police show up and tell her she has to leave. And
oh, wow.
So,
yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw another one, too.
Nikki did the same thing, right? So both Nikki Haley and DeSantis. So she posted the one about DeSantis, and I just said, it's probably just that, you know, DeSantis doesn't like tall women to be around him. And I posted a video of him where he's looking down at his boots, you know.
I got a good one for you. He's a midget.
Yeah. So, but this guy,
person, my bad, little person.
Yeah. This guy, again, a conservative follower of mine, just puts Trump is on his fourth wife. And I'm like, well, that's irrelevant, but okay. How is it not irrelevant? Trump. And I said, well, Laura posted this about, you know, DeSantis. I made a joke about DeSantis' insecurity about his height. And you came on with, and I put the big picture of the woman screaming, Trump. And then all of a sudden he shut down. Like,
What was that supposed to have to do with Trump?
Yeah, it had nothing to do with Trump. But that was a typical response that I normally get from, you know, a liberal account or a Biden follower. But this guy was saying, you know, he supports Trump and blah, blah, blah. It was an alt
account.
Because
that's all they have.
Yeah.
That's all they have. They think if they just say because of Trump, that makes everything right.
Right. But this guy specifically was on an alt account pretending to be a Trump supporter, and he forgot he was on his alt account.
See, that's the problem. Ooh, when you got a lie, you got to remember those lies.
You got it. And if you got to jump between accounts, and then you forget, oh, crap, I'm on the wrong account.
Or
hello,
one wrong post on one account or message a DM on another.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I can't see. That's too much work.
I know. That's why, you know, that's why it's just better to be honest in who you are. And, you know, people.
Exactly.
Like, I'm not afraid of doxing and stuff like that because I put everything up there. I got my resume, my LinkedIn account. I got everything up there. It's my real name. I tell this is the city I'm in. This is who I am. Right? It's all up there. So who can dox me? What are you going to do? I think the worst thing somebody thought they were doing is they found an old picture of me from when I worked for IBM. So kudos on them for finding it. And they post it. I'm like, oh, what?
You mean the one with hair?
But what's that?
You mean the one with hair?
Yeah, I had more hair. I'll put it that way. and I said, look at that handsome guy. I said, but I'm just, you know, I'm like a fine wine. I'm just getting better with age, right? Is that your best? That's your best attempt at doxing me. Good luck.
Wow.
You know,
they really have nothing.
No. I don't know who they're dealing
didn't
with.
If they didn't steal our memes and change them, they would be boring as hell.
Oh, they liberals can't meme.
Oh, God. Oh, they're so dry. It's just, not, and they don't make sense. Of course, then again, look at the leader. He babbles like a two-year-old. I got a question for you, Bill. What do you think about the little change around with Mr. Fetterman?
Okay. So if you go the conspiracy theory route, you know, he's not the same guy, right?
Yeah.
You know, so let's just spitball this, right? Because I was thinking about this today. You know, he got elected when he had brain damage, right? So his brain is healed. So they elected exactly what they wanted. My brother used to say this. I don't care. It's like, you know, we will elect, because my brother was very, very liberal. You know, we'll elect a potted plant over a conservative. You know, we don't care. And you know, and he was specifically talking about Fetterman and Biden, right? Kind of like what he did in this case, right? But so they elected one thing. His brain got healed. He's thinking straight, and now he's saying stuff they don't like. And it's like, so that's an option.
I don't think that's a pretty good option.
Yeah, he's saying a lot of good things all of a sudden.
They're going to target him just like they're doing, like they're going to do Mayor Clark.
Oh yeah, they'll have to take him out.
Oh man, see that's the thing. They eat their own, man. That's why I call them demon rats, not Democrats. Because push come to shove, they will eat their own.
Well,
to save their own ass.
There's definitely a spiritual aspect to what's happening.
Oh, I don't have a doubt about that. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. They're not coincidences anymore. I'm sorry. Everything I see is written to come to pass.
Yeah, like Pablo said the other night. Pablo said it's no more coincidences. These are God-o-instances.
Exactly. 100% right. I'm just waiting. You do realize that the area right now where they're fighting all at Israel, 85 miles away, is the Valley of Megiddo. There's been more blood spilled in that valley in history during in wars than in any place on Earth. It's only 85 miles away from Gaza.
Yeah.
One more sign that it's not a sign, but it's coming close to a sign. One of the signs is the fall of Damascus. Turkey is sticking their face and their nose into this war. Not a good sign.
Well, you could sit there, you know, if you're a student of the end times, and you sit there and you can look at the news and look at your Bible. I'm like,
the way I look at it, Bill, with the Bible, is if you're going to study the beginning, you've got to study the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I love reading the Bible. Gives me hope every time I read it.
Yeah.
Because I know what I see is coming.
Well, and there's been many generations that say, oh, this is the end time, this is the end time. But there's, you know, certain things have to happen first. Like you said, the fall of Damascus is one of them. But, you know, Israel had to have, you know, become a state again, which, you know.
1948
couldn't happen before then. And then there's a few other things that have to happen before the end.
For sure.
And you just sit back and you watch them. And I should create a big chart for my wall. And, you know,
too late, I already have one.
You got that?
Yes,
I'm big on charts, but I've been so mobile that I haven't had any.
You should see some of the maps that I have drawn up. I actually went back. Instead of the Christian Bible, if you look at the Hebrew Bible, our calendar is different than the Hebrew calendar. October is actually the seventh month, not the tenth month in the Hebrew calendar.
Yes.
And you know, seven is the holy number.
And my favorite number.
Yeah. Lucky seven. But I have a few books here, and I did some, went to the library, looked up the ancient maps for Israel and Gaza and Damascus, and, you know, that whole region. And Palestine needs to go away. That's not theirs.
Well, there's another big thing that has to happen. And
yep.
And
Solomon's
they're
temple.
Not included in it. Exactly. Exactly. That's it.
When I was growing up in South Florida, I used to go to church with a young lady down there by the name of Kathy. Fantastic young lady. She's the one that got me going to church. And it just happened to be a Pentecostal church. I loved it. These people welcomed me with open arms. And she got me the one time we were doing a Christmas play. And she volunteered me to be the guy to carry Jesus and pick him up off the cross, because I was the only one there that was strong enough to pick the guy out. Well, you know what the Roman soldier's uniform looked like, right?
Right, yeah.
It was like a mini skirt. Well, mine was a little bit more mini. I'm glad I was wearing yours.
I was going to say, you gave them more of a show than they wanted.
Everybody started clapping.
Okay, there's got to be pictures. There's got to be pictures from this. I got to see.
God, I hope not. I hope not. Because I'll tell you what, when I stood up with the guy on my shoulders, he was laughing. I could feel him laughing. Why? Because everybody started clapping. And Kathy said when I turned around, my face was so red. It looked like a strawberry shortcake outfit because I was so red. And the outfit was white. It was an awesome play, though. It was an honor for me to just be a part of it and to help out.
It's so funny you say that, right? So when I was in college, I think it was my freshman year of college, my girlfriend, who later became my wife, her church was doing a play, and I wasn't the Roman soldier who picked up Jesus, but I was a Roman soldier, right? And they had me shirtless with a leather skirt, you know, mini skirt.
Oh my God!
And but I was a weightlifter, football player, karate. I did everything, gymnastics.
Yeah.
I did a bunch of stuff. And it was a lady in the church who asked, "Who was that young man?" And my girl was like, "Well, which young man?" She said, "The one with the chest." Because I was going to go out there topless, right? I'm like, I was in the back doing push-ups and getting pumped.
Oh, I'm
going to be a Roman soldier. I'm going to play the part, you know?
It's
funny that that's how she described me.
The chest. All right. That's it. You're no longer Bill the Fixer. You're now Bill the Chest. Oh, Lord have mercy.
If you go that route, then, you know, turnabout's fair play.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, Sebastian Gorka's on Newsmax right now talking about sabotaging our armed forces. There's a young man standing at West Point holding his lid upside down, and then it has a sign that says, "Communism will win."
You know, there was a time in this country that I would give you a one-way ticket to Russia, you know?
You know, I sit here and I think to myself, I look back at history, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg were executed for far less than what the people that are running this country are doing to it now.
That is so true.
What the hell? How do we get here?
It was a long and deliberate path.
Yeah, I keep saying that. I try to tell that to people too, Bill. They asked how we got here, and I said, well, we got complacent, for one. And for two, they've been doing this for many, many years. They are dug in like an Alabama tick. And it's going to take some time for us to get them out. But unfortunately, they haven't left us with a whole lot of time. Because if they win these 2024 elections, I'm afraid our country and our constitutional republic is done.
It's true. No, it's true. We will prevail. It may not be, you know, it's not going to be easy. But, I mean, the only thing, so here's, we're talking biblical, right? The only thing that tempers me on this is, you know, the Bible says God puts kings, you know, in power and he takes them out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that gives you hope that, you know, he can do that again, no matter what the odds are.
Well,
but then there's the whole...
It says in Revelations at the end we're going to have 1,000 years of peace.
But yeah,
then what we got to go through to get to that 1,000 years of peace?
I was going to say, you know, we're going to have to go through tribulation before that. So if it is God's plan, that this is the tribulation and this is what it starts and evil's got to reign for a period of time, then nothing, you know, nothing's going to
mm-hmm.
stop God's plan. Right? But again, you got to look at the boxes, you know, what has to happen before then, and where and whatnot. Is it that time? But
mm-hmm.
that's the only thing that would temper me, is saying, well, we're not going to stop tribulation. We're not going to be able to stop that. And it's going to be horrible. But then
we're not going to be able to stop any of it. If that's what's coming to pass, we're not going to be able to stop any of it.
Exactly. So
we just got to try to do our best to survive it.
Right. But again, my motto is hope for the best, plan for the worst. Right?
Amen to that, brother.
That this is not that time, and it's not going to happen here. But there's no doubt, as you look at everything, you know, I was on with Pablo, it was last night, and the whole topic was adrenochrome, right? And what these people,
oh, yeah.
You know, people keep talking about the Epstein list, right? The Epstein list and who's on it, who's not on it, and are they guilty, are they not guilty? And it's almost, everybody's become kind of desensitized that, yeah, there was this island and people went there and they did bad things with young ladies. Well, no, it was much worse than that. It's much worse than that. They
yeah.
tortured children to drink their blood. Right?
Yes.
They, you know, and it's so much more evil and sinister. And,
now, see,
and
when you
so
say
much
stuff
bigger.
Like that, people, when you say stuff like that, people are like, no, that's science fiction. No, it's not. But people are so damn desensitized due to TV. To them, it's like
mm-hmm.
watching a TV show.
So there was I can't remember the country, but I'm going to say over there in Europe somewhere. All right, somebody went out and bought a USB stick, all right? And apparently
yeah.
it had been bought and then returned, all right?
Uh-oh.
So the person took it home, they put it in their computer, and they saw... No, it's full. It's got a bunch of stuff on it. So the first thought is, I'm just going to get back and get another one. And then they took a look. And it was data, like spreadsheets, PDF files, full of an inventory from a specific company, right, that was marketing children, right, had their age, and all under the age of 12, right, their blood type, right, the cost, who was the custodian of the children, had
wow.
all the data. And I now have all this. I have all that data.
Oh, man.
So, and again, somebody slipped up. But it's out there. It's real, you know. And this was a discussion. You know, people don't. So the ones that say, well, that's just crazy, that's conspiracy, that's, you know, but So you have the people, again, I have two buckets I put these people in. You have the ones who are guilty, right, and are going to denounce it and suppress it and whatever because they're guilty. And then you have the people who they just don't want to believe that this amount of evil and these horrible things have happened to children. They just can't wrap their minds around it. So they
see, here's,
shut
here's
it down.
What comes to my mind with Jeffrey Epstein's island. We all know what went on there. But being as to how we know how big this operation is now, how many more places like that out there are there?
Absolutely. How about all these, you know, these people who are on the list who have their own islands, right?
Exactly.
Jeffrey was the...
At least anybody
with the
Jeffrey Epstein's net worth range, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, he was the main blackmailer, right? But you don't think, this is a worldwide problem. And again, it's because of, you know, who is really in charge and driving this stuff. And again, go back to the Bible. I said this last night on his face. It's nothing new. You know, before Moses was born, there was an effort to kill all children under the age of two, you know, to stop mm-hmm. him from being born. Before Jesus was born, Herod sent out his soldiers to kill any child 2 years old or younger to stop Jesus from being. So the hope that I have, here is the hope that I have, that these atrocities happen before God is about to do something amazing,
miraculous,
right? Miraculous, amazing, world changing, right? So,
well, we
know
what that's supposed to be, right?
Yes. So, but it's still horrible that this is happening, you know, and it's got to stop. And the people who have, you know, fallen prey or, you know, given their souls to Satan have got to face the consequences here on earth and then at the end.
Oh, yeah. You just got to accept him as your savior. Ask him for forgiveness. Ask him for forgiveness for your sins, transgressions.
Well,
forgive
ones
who have sinned and transgressed against you.
And that
you
got to
mean it in your heart.
And it's nothing mystical, it's nothing magical, it's nothing spiritual. It's really just a relationship. It's just, hey God, I messed up. I need you.
I talk to him twice a day at least.
Right. But then there are the souls that have already filled, you know, their heart with evil, right? So they need something more than that. You know, they're not going to just say that. They need some cleansing, outright exorcism.
Big time.
So
we need to go get Father Merrick from The Exorcist. Oh, wait, no, he died. Maybe we don't want him.
Well, you don't need a special priest. I mean, I've done it.
No,
it's not fun, it's not pretty.
That's another thing that's getting me is what this Pope is doing.
Yeah. Well,
false prophet.
That whole organization.
Pretty much. I grew up Catholic. I took my Holy Communion confirmation. But, I mean, I never had, no priest ever tried to do anything freaky or anything like that. But from what I've seen
like
and heard from many others,
yeah,
it's a disease, definitely in the church, and the church has been perverted.
Right.
And again, that is also in Revelation.
Exactly. A lot of people are going to say, well, you know, I was of this, I was of that. I went to church. I did this. But they didn't you know, they never had a life-changing, you know, soul-cleansing experience.
Well,
and, never accepted Christ. Never.
Jesus preaching in a church or a synagogue. He always preached outside to the multitude. Wherever three or more gather in my name, I'll be in your presence.
Now he did it a couple times, and he did it for a reason. He gave them a reason.
I love it when I get the atheists. They come in and they say, well, Jesus, all he hung around with were whores and drug addicts and people like that. Well, there's a reason they called him the great physician. You don't send healthy people to a doctor.
Exactly.
He did it to help them with their sickness. That was one of the reasons he was here. To show us our miracles. So when he died on the cross for our sins, we knew who he was.
And what did he say about the Pharisees?
He
said, what did he say about the Pharisees? You brood of vipers.
Exactly.
Right. The religious, you know, them, we have the religious now, right? You don't expect somebody to wash off before they get a bath, you know?
No.
You know, so, and that's the problem with churches today. If the people... If there was a great revival and people just walked in off the streets, you know, who they are, where they're at in life, right, they would not be accepted by the churches. And that's why God bless Pablo Escobar Jr. You know, he's reaching people that, you know, would not be reached, even by you and myself.
If I walked into a church to pray right now and ask for forgiveness, they would look at me. With what I'm dressed, I'm in my jeans and my hoodie and my work boots. They would look at me and probably call a cop on me because I have tattoos, because I have my ear pierced. You know, stuff like.
I think there are a lot of churches that would accept you, but I remember I had a weekend event with it brought in some Christian musicians and just had a big concert bonfire out in some fields, right? But then we gave the message at the end, and a lot of people came forward. So then they showed up on Sunday, and I just remember this one young lady, you know, brought her live-in boyfriend with her to church and said, I shared with my boyfriend what happened, and, you know, and he and I want to be baptized together. And the pastor's like, so your boyfriend? And, you know, and she said, did they live together or whatever? And so he pulled me aside and was like, Bill, who are you bringing into the church here? And I'm like, I'm bringing in people who are getting saved, you know. You're not going to
tell
them they have to
move. This is what church is supposed to be for.
You're not going to tell them they have to move out to get baptized, right? They're going to have to become perfect little Christians before they can get baptized, right? They've taken the step that they need. Now you need to let, you know, God work in their life, but that's the problem with churches, right?
Amen.
Full righteous people who want everybody to be perfect when we're not perfect. They're not perfect.
Well, we're the farthest from perfect.
Stop it.
There was only one perfect that walked this earth. There is only one person that was perfect that walked this earth, and he died for our sins.
Absolutely. So if you can meet this bar, then you can tell these people to stay out. Otherwise, shut up. I'm bringing them in. And if you're not going
to
baptize them, I'm going to baptize them, which I ended up doing.
Yeah, I'm in Northwest Iowa, brother. We got some big cornfields. We can have a heck of a revival.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love it. Yeah, we got two churches in our little town. Three. We have a Lutheran, we have a Catholic, and we have a Baptist. And all three of them get along perfectly. I mean, my town is probably about 1,200 people, and most of the people that have been here, have grown up here for generations, and they accepted me here like I was one of their own. So I like Northwest Iowa. They're the good God-fearing people. Our governor? That's another story. She likes the
governor needs me. Governor needs Jesus.
What gets me in is how they could allow that statue that they put into the Capitol building. That satanic statue?
Which one? They're putting them up all over the place. There's one in front of the UN.
In the Iowa Capitol building.
Okay. Yeah, and I haven't.
But the Marine, there was a Marine that just wiped it out. He took its head right off.
Perfect.
That's so awesome. Fine, brother. Yeah, then they arrested the man for destruction of private property.
Ah, misdemeanor.
Oh no, they immediately started a GoFundMe or something like that. He was immediately out.
Yeah, we can tear down, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson statues, but don't you dare touch those satanic ones we're putting up.
Or the George Floyd one, or and to be honest, the one that they did to him in Minnesota, one that looks like a turd.
Yeah.
If I was his family, I would probably have said, yeah, no, you're not putting that up. I mean, come on. I don't mind him being remembered like that, but drug addict that put a gun to a pregnant woman's belly. That's not a man. That's a sick individual.
It's a psyop. That's the narrative. It's perfect.
Well, from what I see, there's people getting really tired of their psyops, and they're going to be seeing some psychos. I mean, they keep pushing that's what they do. The liberal Democrats, they'll target these kids and these trans and people like that have bad mental issues, and they're all they want to do is put them on psychotropic drugs, and it makes them even worse. And then they go shoot up schools and churches and businesses, and they wonder why. Because you're pointing them in that damn direction. You need to address the mental issue instead of trying to cover it up with drugs like a Band-Aid.
Yep, I'm going to use that as an excuse to take away our guns.
Exactly. If you look at everything these people implement, every single thing they implement it's like a chimera. Or something like that. It's like an octopus. It's got arms everywhere. They inundate us with so much stuff. And we're not in no way, shape, or form organized well enough to bring it all together. So nobody knows what the hell's real and what the hell's not. It's like I said the other night when I was at the rally. Separated. We're just patriots talking. But when we unite, we become a nation. And that's what we need to do. United we stand, divided we fall, and they've got us divided.
Yeah. Well, and one thing I'm kind of catching on to is we definitely need to unite as a nation. But like this call I was on about free speech. you know, it was being run out of, you know, England, and we had, you know, multiple nations of people, you know, on the call or on the space. And, you know, all experiencing the same stuff we're experiencing here. So we need to unite with like-minded, moral people around the world.
Very
as well.
Much. I agree.
This is a world issue. We certainly have our own interests here that we have to focus on and take action on. But in the end, I think to win this thing, we're going to have to win it globally.
And we're going to have to do it together.
And we were even talking about the cyber, you know, option, and, you know, what things to do, you know, in case this happens, and make sure you're on multiple platforms. And there's a lot of good information put out there for, you know, if there was. Just think about it. I had a friend in college that kept saying, he kept saying, someday God's just going to turn off the electricity.
Yeah.
So you're not, this was before, you know, the internet and everything else, right? He's just going to turn off the electricity. And we're not going to be able to get on computers. We're not going to be able to use phones. We're not going to be able to. And so it's, you know, that just keeps coming back to me, because just think what would happen if there was no electricity, or there's electricity but there's no internet access. Everything we use,
you would have mass chaos. You'd have
mass chaos. Right, and this goes back to Obama's movie. That's what he's projecting. It's going to happen.
There you go.
Right.
Well,
so,
no, I'm sorry, but we can't call them conspiracy theorists anymore. We just have to call them realists.
Realists, exactly. And again, you got to believe what they're telling you they're going to do. You just go back in history and see what they said, see what they did, see what they said, see what they did. And here they are, they're saying things, and we're not picking it up.
Well, see, that's the thing. Nobody does the research for themselves anymore. They do now. And now they're starting to open their eyes a little bit more. But it was a hive mind. Just let's look at the TV and see what the TV has to tell us to do.
Right.
You know,
we're gonna have to get.
Let's look at X. Let's see what X has to tell us to do. Let's look at social media and see what they have to tell us to do. There's a reason it's called program.
Yeah, I'm of the mindset that I want to go out and buy an old ham radio. Right. You and I have to have our own ham radios.
I have one.
Keep this show. You have one? Good. Then I have to go get
one. I've had one for 10 years.
We're going to have to broadcast the channel, and we're going to have to say, you know, America Matters Radio is going to continue. It's just going to be on this ham radio channel.
I've got my ham radio license too, so.
it can go across the world, and we can all stay in touch. So, hey, that's a plan, man. We got to execute that plan.
That's a good idea.
Again, hope for the best.
I just told everybody.
I'm not trying to put fear in anybody's mind, because fear, the only thing fear in somebody educated me on this the other night, the only thing good that comes from fear is, you know, true courage is being afraid but acting anyways, right? Taking action anyways. So that is the only good thing. And unfortunately, there are a few people who are wired to do that, right? They, in the midst of a war, they're going to hide in the foxhole, right? They're not going to get up and shoot the gun. They're not going to charge the enemy. They're not going to take the hill. And we're going to have to be ready to do that. Again, I'm not saying, I'm not calling for violence. I'm calling for defense.
I forgot
in the worst case scenario. What's that?
Well, Miss Eva couldn't join us tonight. She's feeling under the weather. I hope she gets better. Hope she's feeling better soon.
And again, I have not been as active I've been very active on X, but it's just been in the spaces realm, right? So, but I have not heard from her lately.
She's been under the weather last week, and she went up to visit a friend and caught a cold and she's getting over it now, but I just talked to her today. She's sounding a lot better. And God bless you, young lady. Get better soon. We love you.
Yeah, and we will be praying for you. And I just got over that last week. So I got, you know, I got in my car accident, broke some bones, and then
badass immune system, because I don't get colds. I don't, you know, I have allergies. Don't get me wrong, but I don't get the flu. I don't get colds. I haven't been sick. I had COVID, and I got rid of that in 4 days.
You know, the funny thing is, I used to, because I was in a very high-stress, like, you know, executive position, and I would work literally sometimes 24 hours a day for multiple days, and it was always a very long, stressful day, and I did that all year long until the end of the year, and all my clients always shut down for the last 2 weeks of the year. So when they shut down, I went home, and my body would just said, I'm done.
Decompress.
And I didn't get depressed. I'd get pneumonia. I'd start with,
decompress.
Bronchitis. Oh, decompress, yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't handle it well. What I didn't do that back then is I kept it all in. I was superhuman for the times I needed to be superhuman.
Yeah.
Until all of a sudden, you know, I'd stop, and all that adrenaline and whatever it was I was relying on left me, and
you
I
crashed.
Was full-blown pneumonia, right?
Yep.
And it was every single year, and I'd get to near death, and that stopped when I stopped working for IBM, and I did my own thing, did it my own way, and COVID hit, and I had not, besides a couple of weeks ago, I had not even had as much as a cold, right? But it's, you know, but I had to remind myself again, don't get, you know, don't internalize all this stuff. Meditate, pray, you know, let this stuff out. Treat your body well, and it'll protect you. So, so I learned my lesson again. And it wasn't as bad as that, right? So I got the cold, I got the chest cold, and now I'm into plant, I'm not into pharmaceuticals, I'm into plant medication. I took echinacea. You know, I took and I knocked it out in a week, you know, less than a week. And
nice.
it didn't progress like it used to, but I never got COVID. I never got anything. And I shared this on the space today. I was actively, you know, when COVID struck, hope for the best, plan for the worst. I saw all the fallacies and everything that was being said, but I bought a conversion van. I bought a camper. And I left, you know, where I was living in Florida. That's where my company was incorporated out of. I went and camped, you know, near where my children were. And I was going to be there for them if they needed me. And, you know, after a short while, you know, when I saw that they were fine, and I just said, okay. And I just went across the country. I went as far as upstate Washington, through the desert, across the country. I got to Massachusetts. Down to Florida. I traveled in the midst of the peak of COVID and helped, you know, because I had the means. I helped first responders, people. You know, it took a while for people to get all this money that they were sending out, right? So people lost their jobs because all the businesses shut down and there was no unemployment. There was no, you know, big checks from the government at the beginning. And people were hurting, right? And I had the means to help. And I did that, but I did that without a mask, without a shot, without a word. I never got a cold. Never got a cold, you know? And
these numbers in this COVID were so inflated. No matter what you went into the ER for, they considered it COVID.
Well, exactly. But here's the more diabolical thing, right? They pushed fear on people, right? I'm a numbers person. I've always said this, right? I'm a numbers person. So I was downloading all the data, looking at all the, right? But the only thing they were reporting were death.
Yep.
This death, right? And there was no longer any, you know, nobody died of a car accident anymore. Nobody died of anything, right? Any death was COVID, right? And then they would push those numbers out. Here's how many people died in your state, your town, your country. right? And you could see the heat charts and, you know, but it was death, 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 right? And then people were locked in their houses in fear and, you know, and not doing all the right things to stay healthy.
And right there was the name of the game.
Right. And we always said in business, it's like, or in accounting, right? it's not what the numbers are. It's what do you want the numbers to say? And we'll create the charts to show you. Right?
Exactly.
And that's what they were doing. They weren't, you know, I was plugged in with the people, you know, pulling and putting the data and writing the reports. And now it's like, why are you not? I want to see this, you know, I want to see how many people actually were tested and got infected, but didn't die, right?
Exactly.
And they weren't putting any of that data out. And what about natural immunity? What about this? What about that? Nope, that
well,
was not part of the narrative.
See, I'm like you. I was arguing an abortion issue, my right, my body, with Olga the other night, and she started talking about women dying in childbirth due to complications and stuff like that. I said, I want you to show me the statistics and the numbers of how many women died in childbirth versus how many women just gave up the child because it was inconvenient for their life.
Right. It's
got no
it's
response.
Well, it's the whole pygmies in Africa thing. Again, if you get back to biblical matters, right? It's when you're trying to witness to somebody and they say, well, if God's so loving, you know, and he's going to reach the whole world, what about the pygmies in Africa that never heard it and don't have a Bible? And I'm like, I would say, that's a great question. Hey, let's get you saved, and then you and I can go help those pygmies, you know? But don't bring up this emotional, right, this emotional very small percentage, if anything, issue when millions of babies are being killed out of convenience, right? Don't bring up this little issue, you know, and, you know, it's incest, it's rape, it's, you know, the mother's health type of stuff. And then they turn that whole, you know, used to be the mother's health was, you know, high-risk pregnancies and the mother might die. And that's always been a medical decision to be made by the mother and the father when that's happening, right? And but that's not what we're talking about. Don't, you know, it's.
But see, that's the thing. As a father that had to almost go through this, I know for a fact, father has no right in say in anything while that woman is pregnant.
Absolutely.
And that should not be.
No, I agree. No.
He helped
create
that little miracle. He should have a say in whether it lives or not.
Right. But the whole thing is those are distraction questions, right? Those are, you know, what is the percentage that's the issue? Is that so are you now, again, and this is debating and negotiating, right? So you're telling me then okay, so it is wrong, but not for these instances. So you'd be willing to say only for these instances, but not in any other instance, it would be okay, right? No, blah, 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 blah. No. So you're, again, you're for convenience. And when you talk about, you know, my body, my choice, you know, when you create a child through good or bad decision making, right? That child has its own unique DNA, right? That child has a heartbeat, you know, very early in the process. That is a individual human being. That body has a right to live and doesn't have a say.
The other day I put up a video of a baby that was born by C-section at 24 weeks.
Yeah.
That baby's hands was moving.
I think when the heart
caption
started,
I put on was, this is what they want to destroy.
Right. I just remember my first child when they did the ultrasound, you know, with the jelly and whatever, and I think it was 8 weeks, and you just hear the heartbeat, and it blew me away, right? There's mm-hmm. That's a living being. And
yeah.
But again, all these arguments, I think we were talking about COVID to begin with, but that's the data, the statistics, it was a fear tactic, and it had a very specific purpose. It was projected. Fauci said it a year before, Trump's going to have a major pandemic to deal with, and lo and behold.
That man needs to be tried for crimes against humanity.
Yeah, what Fauci didn't say is it's because I'm out there, experimenting and doing gain of function stuff to create this problem. Why? Because I'm tied in with the pharmaceutical companies that are going
to
sell the.
I've
already patented
well.
The virus. Yeah, he had already patented the virus, and he was going to sell. And he was going to get rich off it, which he did.
Sure, he was.
Right?
Now he's just getting rich off our government.
And he was just, that was his role, right? That was his role and his motivation. But he was a smaller part of the larger scheme that this has to happen during the 2020 election so that we can get Trump out of office, so we can get mail-in ballots, so we can lock everybody down, so we can destroy the middle class by shutting down small businesses, right? We can get people dependent on the government for money and rent and food and everything, so we can create a slave state, so we can, right? He was just a small cog, a slimy little small
cog in a bigger
plan. A bigger plan, right?
I seen a video the other day, and I'll have to find it and send it to you. I can't explain it. You just got to watch it. It's Joe Biden, but through the years, to just like totally contradicting himself from the time he got into the Senate all the way up till now. And if you watch it, you can see his appearance change. And I'm trying to find, I'll get it to you later. But you got to see this video. If it's not AI, you can tell. They're live videos.
Yeah. Well,
they're putting ankle monitors on illegal aliens, finally. Well, who's to say they're going to cut them off? I just got sent that video.
Well,
because
they're such upstanding citizens, law-abiding citizens. Why would they ever cut off the ankle monitor?
Oh, brother, that's like the word military intelligence.
Misnomer.
Oh, man. I would like to throw out our number. We have about 30 minutes left in our show. If you'd like to call in and chat with us, our phone number is 319-527-6092. And to chat, just press 1. We'll go back to what Bill was finishing.
All right. Well, talking about data, I'm going to bring up another topic because we're talking about the big steal in 2020 and COVID and all of that. I was on a space a week or two ago, and Millie Weaver, I don't know if you're familiar with it. She's a reporter, independent journalist, and she was going over what she had gotten. Somehow it got leaked. She got a hold of the Democrats' simulation exercises that they created in 2016, or they started to create it and were going through it, but then they were executed in 2020, right? And it is so every political, I don't want to make this sound more sinister than it is, although it is sinister, every political party relies on think tanks to develop their campaign strategies and run through scenarios. What if this person wins, and what if we lose this state, and what if this happens, right? So that's a common practice. But the Democrat Party had put together these simulation exercises, and it was specifically for how to steal the 2020 election, right? And what they would do in every case, every different scenario. And she's got a, you know, she puts a link
wow.
to the actual online, you know, it's up in the cloud someplace, documents for, you know, what they planned out. So the space actually walked
oh,
through
see,
each
yeah.
scenario. And it was really, really good. They walked through every scenario and, you know, but it actually included a staged insurrection.
Oh,
right? And,
Jesus.
Yeah, and the one scenario was, the insurrection was going to be used in the scenario where Trump won and they would need to kind of shut down, you know, exactly what they're accusing Trump and his supporters of doing, right? They have to shut down Congress so that it wouldn't be verified. The electoral vote wouldn't be verified, right? So, you know, almost everything happened, but that, you know, the steal worked so well, you know, that big F in the middle of the night chart of Biden all of a sudden, you know, winning. But they still went forward with, well, here's how we can keep Trump, because here's how we can keep Trump out if we still go forward with this and just blame, you know, Trump. Right, for an insurrection. So, again, they projected. This was at the beginning of the year, you know, a year before January 6th happened. They had that all mapped out. So, to me, that's a nail in the coffin for, you know, was this an insurrection or was this a Fed insurrection? Right. I'll send you that.
Yeah, I definitely want to read that. Actually, you know who Benny Johnson is, right?
Oh, yeah, we follow each other. Ben, Ben, I love Ben.
Just had the guy who told him that the feds did January 6th, Fauci created COVID, and the CIA killed Kennedy, and UFOs are real. Gee, like we didn't know that.
Right.
See, that's the thing. That's how you can tell people are desensitized when the government actually comes out and tells you that UFOs and aliens are real and it's not really a big deal anymore.
Nobody even cares. Yeah.
No?
Well, one of the things Jake Chansley's big on is the fact that we know, if you know Nikola Tesla, right? He was way ahead of his time, way plugged in. And, you know, he patented and created, you know, free energy, all sorts of stuff, right? But they, you know, they stole his patents, hid his patents, buried his patents. Trump declassified, I think it's seven of his major patents, including the free energy patent, right? And, you know, the amazing thing is it's like it's out there, you know, it's like open source. You know, it's there. Anybody can take it and do something with it, and nobody's doing anything with it. Just,
why?
Yeah, why? Well, because historically, I mean, look at Tesla himself. Historically, when you tried, they would either buy out the patent and bury it, which they can't do now, but or they would kill you, which they still can do. Right, because you're fighting.
I'll give you that.
When you're talking about the free energy, you're talking about the, you know, the energy industrial complex,
oh,
right?
Yeah,
so,
that'll drop a lot of businesses, a lot of money will go bye bye.
A lot, but then again, if you look at the flip side of it, it'd be free energy, all right, and all our costs would go down, right? I mean, look at the whole. Problem with electronic cars is, you know, you take the same source to charge them as you do to put gas in your car. You know, you know, energy is run off of petroleum. You got to run the turbines to generate the energy. Solar energy is not where it needs to be yet to run all of our industries and our businesses and our cars. So
well, that's what kills me about these big-ass wind farms out here in Iowa in the Midwest, they don't realize the hydraulic oil and everything it takes to run those things.
Right, right. And we have, well, I say we, when I was up in Massachusetts, I was up in the Berkshires, and right up in the big mountain that I could see every day, they had five or six of those huge windmills, right? But in the winter, they were completely shut down because they're frozen, and you have to, you know how much
that's a hell of a de-icing.
Boy, I saw a picture of them doing that. And so basically you have a helicopter up there de-icing these things. How much fuel is that helicopter using, to de-ice this thing? So, right? It's just not – I'm not against this. I am all for the environment. I'm all for free. I'm big into solar myself. I had
now, my question is,
what
were they using to de-ice?
Right. Well, there's that, right? But the whole point is it's just not ready for prime time, right? And in my belief is we don't need this new technology. We have this technology. The whole planet has an electromagnetic field that we can harness for free. Tesla proved it out.
Exactly.
Right? And why aren't all these green people, right? Why isn't AOC all over,
Because it would be free.
Doing this, right? Well, because it's not about that. It's about fear, again. It's about climate change. The world.
Control.
Control, right? And so it just doesn't meet their agenda, and AOC's an idiot.
Oh, my God. That's
not smart enough to really know. Sorry.
She's got a job. What she's done in Congress, she's going to be AOC's bartender. Or Nancy Pelosi's bartender. All three of them can get hammered.
It's an easy job. You just take the bottle of vodka and you hand it to Nancy.
Don't let her have the Xanax at the same time. I've seen pictures. She looks rough.
Oh, man, yeah. No, she's roofing herself. Who needs Bill Cosby? She's roofing herself.
Oh, shit. Bill. Oh, no. He killed me. Oh, wow. I got tears in my eyes now.
It's a bad combination, Xanax and alcohol. No.
Ooh, okay. I don't know. I've seen a couple walking around on Capitol Hill looking like they're doing the lithium shuffle.
Yeah.
Walking around while they are mental patients.
And meanwhile, Fetterman's getting smarter and smarter.
That's how I know I'm in the damn Twilight Zone. The Pennsylvania troll has my cue.
Well, one of the things, Pablo's space yesterday was supposed to go over the movie The Greatest Show on Earth. Have you watched that?
Not yet.
All right. So that's you got to watch that. It's pretty amazing, right? So it'll give you hope. It'll give you right. It's just this entire thing is like we talk about that the other side had this well planned out, executed.
Oh, yeah.
Right, and it's very sinister. And I've been saying this almost every space I've been on this week. I just try to give people hope, right? That first of all, let's start from if you have a faith, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, right? So have hope that God has a plan, right? Have hope that there are, you don't see it because of the censorship, it's two-pronged, right? It's the propaganda arm of the Mockingbird media, right? Just feeding you lies and everything they want you to see, and it's all fear-based and right, and then you have the censorship that's censoring, the big tech is censoring any truth or anything that opposes their agenda, right? So what you see for 90% of the time is a picture of doom and gloom, right? For us, it's hope for the liberals, right? But it's doom and gloom for us. But the reality is, it's just like that, the pygmies and the, what we're talking about with abortion, right? The reality is, the truth, there are good people, and there is a plan, and it's going to be executed, and you just have to have faith. You got to ask yourself, why does Trump walk out of every you know, courtroom smiling and happy and not a care in the world, right? He's not sweating at all about any of these indictments, right? And as you see the dominoes starting to fall, right, Jack Smith's case is falling apart, Fannie whoever's falling apart.
Fannie Willis,
you know, the Alan Georgia Bragg, case falling apart. All the data coming out, right, the Epstein list being exposed, the irregularities that are now evident.
He's in the hospital now.
He's on our side or their side?
No, he's on the, the left. He's the, what's his name? The African-American general.
Oh,
I think he took Millie's place.
Oh, no, a new one. I don't know. He took Millie's place?
He shouldn't even be wearing a uniform.
Oh, but not a good one. So, well, God bless him.
He's
just better, but
no, I think he's on Epstein's list.
Yeah. But one thing is, you see all of this stuff being exposed, and it's not from any one source, right? This whole Epstein list that was exposed was from a judge because of a Maxwell case, right? And it's public knowledge, and she had to project it. She had to give everybody a warning. This is coming out. And she did, and it came out, right? That came from that source. All these, you know, voter fraud data that's being released state by state, right? This stuff is coming out. What's that?
Lloyd Austin.
Okay.
That's the general.
But all this stuff is coming out in the right time leading up to the election, right? And Trump's just back there smiling, right? Like, he knew this was going to happen. And I'm not going to make it any more mystical than it is, but
I think he
knows a hell of a lot more than we do. You know what I mean?
There's no doubt that they all know more than they're letting on.
Absolutely. And they're not afraid.
Yeah.
You know, and you got to go back to there's certain executive orders he put in place before he left, and they were really prophetic. It's like why back then it really didn't make any sense, but now, wow, the fact that he put that in place and
now
Joe
it makes 100% sense.
Yeah, hasn't turned them over. And in fact, there was one. I think it was the voter integrity thing he put in place . And it's not in Joe's interest, but Joe extended it. It's expiring, and he extended it. And you got to ask yourself,
he's a dumbass anyway.
Well, yeah. But but all this stuff is falling into place. So I just say all that to say have some hope. And if you haven't watched that movie, The Greatest Show on Earth, and it fits into my psychosis. You know, this is we're living in a matrix, and none of this is. It's been so crazy that it can't be reality, right? This is
exactly.
A show, and there's actors.
See,
on both sides.
Like you said, that's the psyop. That's the name of the game, to make it look so outrageous or so crazy that they can't think it's real.
Yeah, no, nobody does. But all of a sudden, you know, the tables are going to turn, the dominoes are going to fall. And these people, these evil people doing evil things to children and young women are going to meet their judgment. I have hope for that. I get so many people comment on my post saying, yes, that's true, but no, nothing will ever happen, right? Because of the DOJ and the CIA and the FBI and all this stuff.
See, I have a fear about that too. That
these
people will never pay for what they've done.
But if you look, I think that's true for some degree because some things it's just statute of limitations and blah blah blah. It's just the way our laws are, right?
Well, not
they
just
will
so much
pay.
Of that. It's just that there is so many of them.
I know, but they will pay. But keep in mind, though, when you look at the deep state is truly, or has been historically, politically independent. They have their own goal, like the military complex, right?
Well, it's obvious.
We want to stay in power. We want a budget. We want wars. We want whatever, right? And it doesn't matter what party, it's, you know, which party is going to give us that, right? Which president is going to give us what we want.
Power and control is everything. It doesn't matter how they get it as long as they get it.
As long as they get it, and as long as they keep it, and their budgets stay intact, and whatever, the jobs are secure. So there's deep state on both sides, right? And that can turn, you know, if they see, you know, one side's not going to give them what they want, or one side's not going to win, and, you know, they will turn on a dime. That doesn't mean they're good, right? But they'll turn on a dime, and they'll support the other candidate, and they'll throw the other one to the wolves, and they move on. Right. Now, my hope and dream is that happens, and then Trump gets in place, and no matter who those people are, you just dismantle them and get rid of the deep state altogether. You know, that's a big dream, but...
That's a real big dream.
That's a really big dream.
Some would say a pipe dream.
But hey, again, one of my specialties was, you know, they'd send me into the analogy. They would send me into a burning building, right, where it just looked hopeless. Both sides, both parties hated each other. The technology wasn't working. The finances were in the ditch, right? And they'd say, fix it, right? So the first thing I did, I get in the burning building. And when you're in a burning building, you don't say, oh, the pool in the backyard and the deck, you know, might get tarnished, right? You don't care about that. You care about the walls around you and the ceiling on fire, right? I do care about where's the exit door.
Yeah, I want to know where the exit is, and I don't want the roof to come down on my head.
All right, but you take, you know, so I, you know, I was successful because I was put in multiple impossible situations where there was no hope, and I would end up with, you know, a new building with a nice pool in the backyard. And me walking out to the exit door that I saw when I got in there.
All right, here we go. I'm a Trekkie. I'm a Star Trek nerd. I do not believe, I'm just calling me James Kirk, because I do not believe in the Kobayashi Maru. I do not believe in the no scenario. I believe there is a way
you
out
might
of
have
every
to
situation.
Explain. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Nervous. And sometimes, like, I would go in and I'd treat it like a failed marriage sometimes, right, between the two companies. And I'm like, you brought me in here to fix this, but I have to ask the question, do you want it fixed? Do you want counseling, or do you want to get divorced? Because I'm not going to waste my time and your money if you don't want this fixed. And I would get a commitment on both sides. Yes, we want to fix it. You know, we don't think it's hopeful, but we want it to be fixed. Okay, well, we're going to start there. I think there was only one case in everything I've ever done where they said they wanted it fixed. And after I did my analysis, I said, it can't be, because you said you didn't. You said you wanted it fixed, but you don't want to. You're both sabotaging it. And it's not profitable.
Yeah, you're not willing to do what it takes to fix it, then it's not going to get fixed.
Right. And there's only one instance where I had to say, you know, my recommendation is to disband, divorce, walk away. And they chose to not follow my advice. Right. And I said, well, I'm leaving. I'm not going to be a part of anything that's going to fail. Right. I have 100% record. Right. So I'm leaving. And sure enough, a year later, I'm getting the legal, you know, email that says retain all records. Right. These companies are suing each other, and, you know, And they spent, I don't know, $500,000 to try to make it work, and it didn't work. And now they're going to spend another $1 million suing each other. So all that to say, I don't believe in impossible. I really don't believe in impossible. It's only impossible if you give up, right? You only fail when you fail to learn from a mistake. Right? There is no failures. It's only when you fail to learn from the mistakes you made and when you give up. That's the only time something's impossible.
Well, see, that's a lot of people's problems. They can't I look at it the same way with history. If you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it.
Absolutely. And we do it over and over again.
And there's another reason, the definition for the for insanity, doing the same thing, hoping for a different outcome.
Yeah. And you got to keep in mind, history is written by the victors. So you can't always trust history either.
Two sides of every story, right? One or the wrong one.
Yeah. So you got to. So I have hope.
Well, brother, I think we might call it a little early tonight. I know you and I are both exhausted from everything that we had to do this week. And we still have another show tomorrow evening.
I know we're still, we're going to keep our foot in radio. Space is a great place to be. I love being able to put the emojis up and putting information up in the nest. You know, I just sent it to your DM instead, but sharing that with other people, and that's great. I love radio, and I think we got to keep going on that.
Because
there's some folks that aren't going to get on Spaces, right? And, you know, we still got to get the message out.
We are any and every avenue that we have, we need to use to get the message out.
Absolutely.
Period.
I got to expand myself. You know, it's on my to-do list for this year. You can call it a resolution. I'm not going to, because you never do your resolutions. But I want to expand onto Rumble, Monster, all these other places, because who knows, you know?
My only resolution is to be a better person than I was last year.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my resolution for every day. And I'm learning from people. You know, you say I have a big voice. You know, I get on there to learn, right? I've learned. I change my opinions. I change my approaches based on what I'm hearing from other people and giving them a voice to speak.
Well, see, that's another thing. Being who you are and doing what you used to do, you know how to work with both sides at the same time.
Right, but you have to be open to learn. You know, know everything.
Nobody does.
I know there's a lot of things I don't know, right? And that's why I get on these spaces and I listen to people. And you know,
I don't believe in that saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Bullshit.
No. You can't teach a stupid dog new tricks.
You can't teach a stupid dog any tricks.
Exactly.
Except if I were to lick his butt.
And with what I learned today, right? So I've had this. You know, most people are in favor of term limits, right? And my proposal has been, I think we should sync it up with the presidential kind of terms. Not they don't have to necessarily coincide, but, you know, give Congress people 4 years, two times, right? So you have a 4-year term, because if you're new, and we want to get new people in there, we want to get business owners, farmers, real people been there, you're going to take 2 years just to learn how to work the system, right? And then you're going to be out, right? So I want to give them 4 years. But it was Shane who said, he revised my approach and my belief now. He's like, but the reason it's 2 years is you want them to get back out to their constituents and give their constituents, you know, the opportunity
the attention that they're supposed to get.
Right, get that accountability, right? And so he said, I'm for that, but if you give them kind of 4 2-year terms, right? Then they have the time to learn, they have the accountability, but there's still the limit at the end. You stop at this point to find something new to do. You know, become
That's
president,
awesome
become a governor. Right. So I love that, and so I've altered my opinion and approach, and so that's what I learned today. Just on that pickup space, you know, that I was just going to chat with a fellow Xer, right, and it turned into that space, and I learned something, and I'm applying it, and I'm moving forward. So that's the value.
Well, see, that's another of the great things about Patriots networking like we do. And having to come together like we do, we can always learn new techniques, new skills, new everything off of each other.
Absolutely. And when you know, it's what is it? Iron sharpens iron, right?
Exactly.
And that's what we're doing. We're sharpening each other, and we're becoming, I always employed in a term called synergy, right? You can have two top-performing, highly skilled people, and if they're working on their own, you know, they're gonna produce more than, you know, two low-performing, lower-skilled people. But when you put the two of them together and they collaborate, the synergy you get better productivity, better output, better outcomes from
triple production
separately. All right. So.
Yep.
So,
no I in team.
No. It never works.
Teamwork.
So is that?
It's obvious because I really hate this even coming out of my mouth. Democrats have teamwork.
They're good at it.
Very
they're
good.
They're unified.
And that's what scares the hell out of me.
Yeah. We as a party or as a movement or whatever, we have to, you can learn from your enemy, and you should. And that's something we have to learn and adapt and apply.
It's no different than warfare.
Nope.
You got to know your enemy before you go into battle.
Yeah, and you can compliment your enemy by imitating them, you know, taking what they do that's good and doing it better.
100%. That's why we have a lot of the military exercises we used to have with the different countries. So we can learn their techniques and they can learn ours.
Yep. And you always hold back a little bit, though.
No. Oh, you never tell them everything. You can't do that.
Right.
You never give them all your secrets. Uh-oh.
No. Hey, brother. It's been a great night.
All right, brother.
Playing on that one.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to say good evening, and thank you for joining us here at America Matters Radio. Thank you, Bill. I appreciate all your hard work.
Oh, I appreciate everything you're doing out there in Iowa. Keep up the good work out there in the caucus, and let's get Mr. Trump back in office.
Oh, most definitely. I'm looking forward to the 15th. All of our caucuses are going to be gathering at our local center here, and I get to talk to them and tell them why we need to go out and put Trump back in the office.
There you go. Amen. So from your mouth to God's ears.
I hope. I pray. Amen. Good night, everybody. Remember, America matters.